You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Greetings from Wancho Land. Feeling good. Got the good music going because I'm feeling it. That was a fun. We needed a feel-good win, and we got one, finally. So you're tuned in to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm, of course, your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, because the Stiffs NBA show, by the time you're listening to this, is probably up. Episode 4, our first one of the actual season. Excited for that. And who helped me with it today and who is the host and slash co-star is with me on the show today, Brendan Vogt.
Adam, what's going on? I helped you out, huh? I helped out on the show that I'm a part of.
Is that not the right way to say that?
Slightly denigrating.
What's a less denigrating way to say it?
My co-host.
That's what I said. I said the co-host.
No, it's all good.
You guys know what I mean. Today, we get to talk about a feel-good win. I think this was a feel-good win. I guess I'll get Brendan's take on it. But it was what I think was a feel-good win where the Nuggets offense finally sort of shook the dust off. That's not a phrase, is it?
No.
That's not.
No. Brushed the cobwebs off?
Yeah, that's kind of a phrase as well.
Whenever
I have a guest or something on, I realize how many phrases I just make up on the go. Nobody's ever called me out on it, but I'm always making up. They really shook the dust off tonight.
They played well, right? That's what you're trying to...
Yeah, they played well. And it was fun, man. It was just a good time. The Wancho got going. There's just so many different things to get to. But I guess there's no better place to start. Let's start with the man of the hour, Wancho Hernan Gomez.
Nice.
People that listen to the show know Wancho's my dude. I like a lot of the Nuggets players. It really is very few, if any, players on this team I don't like or don't like their games or whatever. But he, to me, is just such a great off-ball player and finally got some really good minutes tonight to play along that first unit, and he just broke things open.
Yeah, he was awesome. I thought he was good defensively as well, which is an important point because, frankly, Adam, that's the only reason we don't see more of Wancho, right? I mean, you're right. He's such a good off-ball player. He's constantly relocating. He's not just a dude who hangs out in the corner. And, the difference between he and Craig in there, what it does for the spacing, it's night and day, man.
Yeah, it is. The spacing is so much. Well, let me ask you this part. So the Nuggets offense had looked really clunky, I think, for the better part of three games. If you think the Laker game, the Pelicans game, Chicago game, and then the first quarter of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got going. Do you think it was – I mean, how much do you think it just has to do with when you give another shooting threat out there, things open up? Or do you think it was just – that was a coincidence, a happy coincidence, that's kind of when things broke open?
I mean, the shots have to fall. That's obvious, right? But we'd be having a different conversation about the same process, right? So Cleveland missed most of their shots, and for once it seemed this season they were falling for Denver. So that's an important part of it. But yeah, of course, Adam, of course the spacing's important. I think we're learning that all around the NBA right now.
Yeah.
It's a fairly intuitive point, but it's like, Jokic wasn't awesome tonight. and the Nuggets still won, and I think that's because the spacing was. And, it's a big difference.
So 5 of 8 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds, only 2 turnovers, which in 29 minutes is not bad. 1 steal, 2 blocks, and he was a team-high plus 18. I mean, it's not just, we gave him the game ball at Denver Stiffs. If you're not following us on Instagram, you're missing out on my favorite little thing we do over there, which is hand out game balls for every single game and keep a running tally. He gets one. He got one before Jamal Murray got one.
Yeah, it was looking like they were all going to go to Gary Harris for a little bit
it did.
No, I mean, at one point in that game, we were thinking maybe Paul Millsap, right? And then all of a sudden, that Wancho game went from like, ooh, a Wancho sighting to, nope, he was the best player on the floor.
It seems like when Wancho plays a lot of minutes, he scores. There's been a handful of Wancho games now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's why we all know who. It's not because he gets consistent minutes or he's in the rotation. It's just when he does get an opportunity, more often than not, he takes advantage.
Do you think, Brendan, now, you don't, when things are not broke, you don't fix them?
Yeah.
Did I get that one right? I at least got that
phrase
right.
Yeah, that's more or less.
Yeah. It's not broke, don't fix it.
If and it Denver, ain't broke.
Denver's 7-1, with Torrey Craig in the lineup. And even though they look clunky, the team, It's funny. When you get the ball popping early, I feel like the team offense just it's so much easier to stay in a sustained like groove offensively. But the flip side is when you get started defensively, it's easier to stay in a good defensive groove. So would you try to make a switch up to the lineup now and maybe replace Torrey Craig?
You know what? No. I think I like what you're selling with the Wancho thing. I'm buying every point you're making. But as Malone said two games ago, look, we're 5-1. And Torrey Craig, by the way, had a good game tonight. It wasn't a Wancho game, but he was good. He was active. Four offensive rebounds.
Those are big too.
Big, and that's the type of player that Torrey Craig is. That's why Malone likes him so much. He's not a stopper defensively, but he's a good active player and a long player. Yeah. So I think Malone is. You could say stubborn, and I think he'll keep him in there. And look, if they're not losing games, maybe it's just nice to have Wancho off the bench, but definitely get him in the game.
I think I would make a change. And it's funny, I was on the air with Gil Whiteley the other day, and he made what I think is a great point that when at a certain point, you're a good enough team that you don't have to just learn through failures. You have to learn through successes as well.
That's a great point.
And I think the Nuggets now are at that point where you can't just say, well, we haven't lost. We can't make any changes. You have to kind of know what works best and what doesn't. And I think Wancho, personally, I thought so. You know, this is sort of confirmation bias because I thought coming into the season that he was a guy that really fits well with Jokic's style of play and provides that spacing. But I just think now, given that Barton's out, it just makes even more sense, in my opinion, to put him in there.
Sure, and look, he was awesome tonight. We finally saw him with the starters, which is something even in preseason, we saw small glimpses of it, but we wanted that sustained stretch, and he looked great. But he also came off the bench tonight, and I thought it was – the starters did struggle, but Torrey Craig's not exactly going to lift the bench up. Right,
yeah.
I think Wancho's one of the guys who can. And so if what Craig, maybe not consistently, maybe you'd like to have him out there with Jokic more.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing for me is I don't think Wancho is good enough player. Like his skill set is different that I don't think he makes the bench better. Mm. I think he's just that much better with the starters because he's a finisher. I mean, he's a really, really good finisher and off-ball player. So when you give him creators, then his game is useful. When you don't, his game is less useful. And Monte Morris, a creator, he can do some stuff. Lyles, but I just think he'll get way more opportunity and have a bigger impact along more creators.
No doubt. And frankly, I mean, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm all about the Wancho look. But Craig's the kind of guy that provides value that you don't always see in the box score. So if they're winning games, to me, I think the key is just get Wancho in the game more. It doesn't necessarily have to be as a starter.
That's good.
You can still get him minutes with the starters, but he can't be shelved. He's too good of a basketball player.
I worry about Torrey Craig's confidence, and he's a tough guy. I think Torrey Craig's an extremely down-to-earth guy.
Yes.
For all the guys you talk to, some of the guys kind of know they're rock stars, some of the guys don't, and maybe that's because he was in the G League last year or whatever, but he's a down-to-earth guy. I think he knows, like, look, he went 1-for-2 from the three-point line tonight. That's what they need.
Yep.
They don't need 1-for-2, 1-for-3. It's really not, you're not asking for a ton. But I do worry about his confidence. If you take him out of the starting lineup, does that send a message to him? And I think Malone is really, really in tune to those types of things. Let's talk about Paul Millsap here because he also, now two games in a row, has been very efficient on the offensive end. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. What'd you see from him?
Well, only 9 shots. Only 9 shots coming after a game where he finally played well, had the game-winning putback. Look, this is what I love about Millsap. He's never going to be the type of dude who goes, okay, now it's my turn.
Right.
He'll take it when he comes, and they fell tonight, and it's good for him to see. Hopefully it's the sign of more good things to come. But what I love the most is just the 9 in the FGA column.
Yeah, he was really good tonight. I thought he made a lot of really good plays. The stats don't jump out to you, just 1 steal, but I thought his defense was good. And he really was the first spark. If you think this game, the way it went, that first quarter was absolutely abysmal. Nuggets get outscored. They scored just 15 points in the first quarter, which I just could not believe that. I would not have guessed that would have happened ever this season, no matter who they were playing, let alone the worst defensive team in the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're down 27-15. They had a massive 8-point. Well, they had an 8-point lead at halftime. That's how good things went in the second quarter, and a lot of that was Paul Millsap getting going.
No doubt, and there were some moments where, and we don't see this from Millsap often, where nothing was going on, and he just created, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
But again, what I love was that he didn't fall in love with himself there, and he didn't love like he didn't see. Okay, I have it tonight. Now I got to force it. He's never going to be that type of player. Man, 16 points in 20 minutes on 9 shots, 0 turnovers. And we know what he does on the defensive end, man. Sometimes it can be rough to watch Millsap on the offensive end, but there should be no doubt in your mind that he makes this team much, much better.
Yeah. Now, he clearly elevates the team. And you talk about Wancho. I like to think about, like, even three-man pairings, just try to think about like what three guys go together. And I think Juancho and Jokic are so good together, but you've got to have a lot of defense to sort of cover for them too. Yep. And that's where Millsap fits in so well. You give Jamal and Gary great spacing in your backcourt, but you could even mix that up. Will Barton, or when he's healthy, even Malik Beasley can stretch the floor. So you have your two guards that can shoot. You put Juancho in there, and then you have, you know, somebody to cover for him defensively. It just makes a lot of sense. Paul Millsap, he's such a good fit with this team because he plugs so many of the team's weaknesses.
And his ability to cover for other guys who are, you know, have defensive weaknesses while never ever losing track of his own responsibility and his own man. It's uncanny, man. Yes, this has been a team effort, getting the defense to where it is, and everyone's focused, but if they're going to be a top 10 defense, which I don't think they will, but if they are, this is your take, not mine. That's a defensive player of the year candidate, man.
I hope that's his goal, because to me, it's a cool goal, and it's the number one thing that the team needs. What about Nikola Jokic tonight? 2 of 5 from the field, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, just 4 points. A steal and a block. You know, the first quarter was kind of rough for him. He wasn't knocking down shots. He got some looks. I thought he came out aggressive. But I don't know that he necessarily played bad. It's funny. Some nights he can have a near triple-double and you think that wasn't great. Some nights he can have like this and you could think, well, he wasn't that bad. He just wasn't needed. By the time the third quarter rolled around, they were up by so much.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's always very encouraging to see the Nuggets play so well when he, I guess you could say, struggles or doesn't have his best game. But I like your point about, like, he was aggressive to start the game.
Yeah.
The shots just didn't fall. And sometimes with Jokic, when he misses those first 2 or 3 looks, he just sort of goes into defer mode, I think.
He needs to get – I mean, he definitely needs to toughen up mentally. I mean, it's just – it's the one thing. And I don't – tonight, like I said, I think he was good. He was fine. But to me, that's the next evolution for him, is he just has to be in this place where nothing can bother him. And look, it took LeBron James a long time to get there. I don't think LeBron was truly there until he went back to Cleveland.
Agreed.
I think that was the first time where he was kind of like, I don't need validation from other people. I don't need to get upset with the little things that happen. I hope that Jokic's arc is a little bit quicker than that. But he does need – I mean, he needs to be toughened up and just understand that, look, shit happens in basketball. And you just have to keep it moving.
Yeah, when the shots don't fall or the whistles aren't being blown, he really does – it's pouty, right? I mean,
yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
It looks like a little kid throwing a tantrum. But none of that tonight. He just only 5 shot attempts, only 1 shot attempt from deep, which, you know, you'd like to maybe see him be a little bit more aggressive. But no complaints. They got the win.
This surprised me. Gary Harris, 4 of 12 from the field. Watching the game, I just didn't notice, I guess, that he was off.
And 1 of 5 from deep. Well, yeah. Gary never seems off, right? He's always so rock solid. Yeah. He's in the right place at the right time. Sometimes the shots just don't fall. He was good on the defensive end, though.
Yeah.
A steal and a block, but I just kind of thought he was in the right place. Such good hands, man. His ability to break stuff up.
His hands are ridiculous.
Without fouling, too, especially in today's league. It's really impressive. I'm never concerned about Gary. That's my favorite part about him. But don't you feel that maybe the three-point shooting is – you'd like to see it regress to what we know he's capable of at some point?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's coming. Like, I just know Gary Harris is a great shooter. If Steph Curry went on a slump, I wouldn't be like, has he lost it?
Right.
It's the same with Gary Harris. He's a good shooter. It is impressive that he's been able to do what he's done without the three-point ball, because once he starts making those, I think so much will open up. 14 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. So he did a little bit of everything statistically. But here's the other thing I like about tonight's game. Yes, it was the Cavs. They blew it open. He only played 28 minutes. I mean, he wasn't needed that much.
28 for Gary, 22 for Nikola, 20 for Paul, just 22 for Jamal. I mean, that's awesome. And it's not the first time this season. Jamal's got a little bit of run, but a lot of these guys are getting 25 to 30 minutes and they're out.
Yeah.
And they're winning. So, yeah, no doubt, man. I think when you look at the way the West is going now, so many teams are struggling, dealing with injuries. We know what a dogfight it's going to be down the final weeks. It will matter that these guys aren't having to play every second to eke out wins.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned him, Jamal Murray. 5 of 8 from the field, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 10 points. He was a plus 10. Basically, everybody on the roster was a plus in this game. What'd you see from him?
Well, he was a little better as a scorer. I mean, he wasn't looking to get his shot off, but 5 of 8 is nice. But I saw a little bit more of the same, man, and I'm not trying to pile on the guy. It's more of this is what we need from him if the Nuggets are going to be one of those top 3 teams out West. just the point guard stuff, man. The ball handling, making the right reads, making those passes in the pick and roll. He either seems unwilling or unable a little too often. And sometimes you go, because of that, you're like, wow, 10 seconds have run off the shot clock before they even get into their offense.
Cleveland didn't pressure him the way that the previous teams had, you know, and picked him up full court. So that's kind of interesting to see. The only thing that sticks out bad in your mind is that first quarter and how ugly the Nuggets offense seemed. And, you know, there were a lot of times, I guess we can kind of talk about this before the next break. There's a lot of times in that first half where the Nuggets would run something and then just start looking at each other like, what do we do now? And to me, that's a sign of a team that's just not in rhythm offensively and is not playing very free-flowing.
No doubt. A lot of standing around, a lot of waiting for someone else to make a play. And yeah, it was the Cavs tonight, but if you fall down 12 early against better teams, man, those are not going to be wins on the road all season long.
It is impressive that they punched back, though, and I think that's, you know, the Nuggets have punched back a lot now this season. They've been in where things haven't been working and they've been able to fight their way back, so it's almost becoming a trait. Winning ugly, you know, these aren't traits you necessarily love, but winning ugly and being able to crawl out of a hole. The Clipper game, they were down in the fourth quarter late. It looked like, I thought the game was over in game. They come back. What other game were they down late? Oh, Chicago, just this last one. Chicago is like, oh man, they let that one get away. They still managed to come back on a pretty big run. And then this one, it was less like, I never felt like the game was out of reach or anything like that because it happened so early. But they got down big and they were able to make it work. So a trend is appearing.
And it's a good trait to have, but you would like to, you don't need to bust that out every night, right? Mm-hmm. If you're truly as good as your record or your aspirations, you're going to start blowing teams out. Okay, so as ugly as the first was tonight, that's what I loved about tonight's game, was that, look, at a certain point, Chicago, Cleveland, you got to win one of these games by 20, and it's got to look easy. So
they have beaten now Cleveland by 20. They've beaten Sacramento big, and they've beaten Phoenix big. I mean, you're talking about the three worst teams they've played so far. Well, Chicago, a bad team that was close, but three of the four bad teams they've played, they've blown out.
Yeah, no, it's been an impressive start. And look, so we talked about how they have to dig out a hole sometimes in games. Well, the last two seasons, over the course of 82 games, they've had to dig themselves out of holes. To jump out 7-1 like this, man, it's gonna matter. It's gonna matter.
I want to save the big picture stuff for the final segment, but I do want to ask about the bench just in general. Monte Morris, Mason Plumlee, Trey Lyles. And anything noteworthy for those guys? Monte Morris, 3 of 7, 7 points. Mason Plumlee, 5 of 8. He had 11.6 rebounds, 3 assists. And then Trey Lyles, 5 of 13 for 12 points, 8 rebounds.
Well, only 3 assists and 1 turnover for Monte, so the assist to turnover ratio is going to plummet.
It is going to plummet. That's twice as bad as his current one now.
I'll say this, another really strong game for Mason Plumlee. Yeah. He's turning into a really quality back. I shouldn't say turning into. He's always been one, and now we're sort of able to properly appreciate him as one. Really, really solid defensive player, and offensively, man. Yeah. I think he's been a weapon for the second unit, which is, that's not something I expected to say.
His offense has been rock solid this year. It's actually pretty impressive.
Are you concerned? Concerns maybe like too much, but Trey Lyles has been ice cold from deep. He's got some touch from out there, but he can be streaky. Are you worried at all about Trey?
I don't think so, but in part because I never really bought into him as an elite three-point shooter. I think he's going to be a streaky player. I think he'll have a hot month or two this year that will be like, man, what a shooter. But I just kind of think that's the player that he is. I think he'll be up and down. His game, though, I thought he made some good plays tonight. The bench unit was a big story in this one, especially they're really the unit that got Denver out of that slump after the really cold start. So for me, the storyline is really more them as a unit tonight. As much as Mason Plumlee, I think, maybe stood out, well, Wancho stood out, but as much as Mason Plumlee also sort of stood out, all of the guys on the bench, I thought, did a good job. And Monte Morris continues to impress just by, he just knows where to get the ball.
And I'm going to shout out Malik. It's not a box score night for him, but good decision making. Good decision making in the second unit.
He had 4 assists. Yeah. He led the team in assists, which I would not have guessed would have happened.
Well, that initial run in the second quarter, that was Malik and Wancho.
He had a couple really nice assists, actually.
Absolutely.
A couple on the move assists.
And the types of plays where maybe several months ago he's trying to score.
Yes.
And now he's thinking the game through, and it's unlocking more for him as a player. Really like what I've seen from him.
I do too. Nugget, feel good one. The Nuggets needed this one, I think. They needed to sort of just, again, shake the dirt off, as the saying goes. And we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to ask if we're out of the woods with the Nuggets' clunky offense. So now the Nuggets got their offense rolling in the final three quarters of that game. Do you think this is something they can carry over now and maybe get some momentum on the offensive end?
They can, sure. I mean, is this?
Yeah, well, do you think they will? I guess.
I'm not convinced, actually, because I still think a lot of it really has to start with Jokic. Mm-hmm. And it's been two or three games now since we've seen him in that everything goes through me mode, whether that means taking shots or not. So, no, I don't. And I also think, man, as long as Will Barton is out, you're going to see some ups and downs with this offense. I think what had all of us salivating in the preseason was the thought of swapping out Chandler for Barton. And when you swap out Barton for Torrey Craig, yes, this team can still function. They can still win. They can still score over 100 points. But it's not going to be that Nuggets basketball we're looking for.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of this does start with Nikola Jokic. And, you know, he's a guy that has traditionally played sort of down to his level of his competition.
No doubt.
And he just went through JaVale McGee, Wendell Carter Jr., and who Tristan Thompson? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's got Rudy Gobert, who is one of the centers that's mentioned alongside him as, you know, is this the best center in the NBA or, you know, whatever. He's sort of the opposite of Jokic, right? Like, even though it's funny, Gobert grades out really elite as an offensive player, even though he doesn't have any offensive skills. And then defensively, that's where his bread and butter is. So Jokic is kind of the inverse of him. I think this is a good opportunity for Jokic to sort of step up.
Me too. And Jokic would never admit to something like this, but when he played against Ayton, there was a bit of a, I'm going to see what this Rook's got.
No doubt about
it. And by the way, not much that night.
Yeah, he didn't.
And I'd like to see some of that from Jokic here. You know, he doesn't like really take these things personally. I think that's one of the big differences between he and, like, American superstars culturally in the NBA. He just doesn't have that one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like the Nurkic stuff, right? Nurkic was taking those matchups so personally for so long. But you would have thought maybe Jokic would at one point just say, time to put this guy in his place.
Yeah, he certainly approaches that specific matchup weird. I think he has approached some matchups, like the Karl-Anthony Towns one he took very seriously, I think to his detriment at times.
Yep.
But this is an opportunity for him for sure to sort of come out and reestablish himself. I think the energy in the building should be good, I hope. It's a Saturday night. Denver better show up for that game. It's a Saturday night versus a divisional opponent, and the team is 7-1. If the people aren't there, I don't know what to say.
If that's not enough for you. And these two teams are going to be neck and neck at some point in this season.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This game matters. So.
It's weird to think, but it actually really does matter.
They all matter, man. It was three games last year. Three games.
And if you were to guess, how much is Denver and Utah separated in the win-loss column when it's all said and done?
Two, three?
Yeah, so we were talking about they're going to be close, and this is a game that can sway it one way or the other. And a lot of reporters were trying to get the Nuggets to comment after the game about starting 7-1. The team has not started that hot, I think, for over 40 years. As much as the team, I understand why they don't care about that. I mean, they don't have the affiliation with the history of this team. But there is still something to be said for 7-1 is great. 8-1 would just be incredible. How long can you keep this run going? How many games can you string together and get above 500 early?
I think everyone's on the same page that result is dope. I just think what the players and coaches would try to tell each other and try to tell us is that you don't get there unless you're taking it one game at a time.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
More than a cliche. That was the problem for the Nuggets last year. They'd get hot, and then they'd overlook a Sacramento.
Yep.
So, I mean, you don't overlook Utah, but I think it takes a one-game approach at a time approach, and I think these players are just aware of how quickly the narrative changes.
So Denver has coming up now Utah and Boston back-to-back home games. We get to look ahead. They can't, but we can. What would your prediction be for those two games?
That's tough. You know, I haven't looked at Utah or Boston's schedule, so I don't know who's rested or whatever when they come into town.
Well, Utah will be on a second night of a back-to-back. I don't know if that's true for Boston.
I don't think they get – I think 1-2 is reasonable. Those are two really good teams. Boston looks good right now. I think they're getting their feet under them. So I think they got a shot at the Utah game. It's the Boston one that worries me a little more.
Boston's a really good team, and Denver played them well last year. You know, Boston has a hard time scoring. That's oddly enough, that's their weakness. And so that gives me a little bit of hope, I think, for Denver. But, you know, I think 1-1 is probably par. 2-0 is certainly possible, and I mean, just the thought of being 9-1 through the first 10 games.
That should be enough to motivate them. I mean, at home, you got to go get these. And hey, we always talk about this team playing down to their competition. They play up to
That's
their
true.
Competition,
yep.
too. They really, really do. Are either of those games televised?
No, I don't believe either. No, neither of them are. Unfortunately, the Nuggets not on television again till the end of November. They go through the whole month without a game on ESPN or TNT. Yeah,
league pass darlings.
League pass darlings. They'll probably, you know what, though? That Monday night game, fan night on NBA TV, they might get flexed in.
Yeah, they
fan,
should.
Fan night, they might get flexed in because that'll be a good.
Flexed in. I like
good,
that.
Yeah. A good style fight. Any thoughts on the Rainbow Skyline jerseys that came out?
They're awesome. They're awesome. They pay homage to a great old look. But it's a new take on it, and I think it breathes new Denver.
Rank the four jerseys.
Rainbow Skyline, the statement jerseys, Mile High, then I like the whites, and then the navies. What about you?
I think I might be the exact same order.
Nice.
I think the Rainbow Skyline, one of the things I said about it is it's just so Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think other people outside of Denver, I think, will like them because they are pretty. But people inside Denver, I think, are going to be like, that's our city. That's us.
Although Nate Kreckman pointed out on Twitter that if it's going to be the updated skyline, they need some cranes in there. It was a good joke, Nate.
They need what else? Some craft beer.
Some condos that no one can afford.
That's true. Perfect. That's it for today's show, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, subscribe on iTunes so that you can check out the Stiffs NBA show that should be dropping anytime on Friday morning. And everybody else, I'll be back. I'll probably save to do a show for Saturday following the Utah game. So rather than do one for Saturday morning, I'll probably have one for Sunday morning. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.